Okay, let's unpack this. We're diving into a deep analysis today of, well, a really powerful and, it seems, accelerating trend. We're talking about Black Americans intentionally choosing to build new lives, seeking new opportunities, far from the U.S., specifically across Asia.
Yeah, it's a fascinating shift. And we're not just talking about, short work assignments or vacations.
No, not at all.
This is about permanent relocation, people putting down roots. And what's driving it? It seems to be this powerful mix of cultural richness, real economic advantages, and maybe most importantly, this search for a genuine sense of belonging.
Right. So our mission today is really to unpack those key drivers and also
Yeah.
the specific experiences, the lived experiences of the people actually making this move.
Mm-hmm.
We want to sort of challenge the typical expat image, don't we? That often brings to mind a very specific, maybe historically white, corporate kind of narrative.
Exactly. This generation seems to be redefining that term. They're pursuing a dramatically higher quality of life on their own terms.
And the scale here, it's not trivial. The sources suggest this is already quite large.
Oh, it's significant. Estimates are putting the number of African Americans who've already moved abroad at over 655,000.
Wow. 655,000.
That's a staggering figure, isn't it? It really confirms this isn't just a few isolated cases. It's a major demographic shift, people responding to global opportunities.
That number really is staggering. It makes you ask immediately, what's the big push factor? What's pushing people from the U.S. on that kind of scale?
Well, the sources are pretty clear on this. A major driver is the desire for respite, right? A break.
Respite.
Yeah, a break from what many describe as this constant low-level hum of friction, systemic exhaustion, maybe, that they face back home.
That makes sense. When we talk systemic inequality, it's not always the huge headlines, is it?
No, absolutely not. It's often the daily things, the microaggressions, the glass ceilings at work, anxiety around policing, feeling watched or judged.
That constant awareness.
Right. That relentless cognitive load. That's what seems to be pushing people out. They're making a very intentional, sometimes radical decision to just step outside that system for their own mental, their emotional well-being.
So if that daily friction is the push, what about the pull? Where are they being pulled towards? The sources mention Asian societies are often found to be, maybe surprisingly to some, quite welcoming.
Wait, surprisingly welcoming? What were the perhaps common fears or maybe misconceptions people had before moving, and what changed their minds?
Good question. The sources suggest that, yeah, before moving, people often worried about isolation, being treated as a complete outsider, maybe facing different kinds of prejudice.
Okay.
But the experience reported is often the opposite. Yes, there's curiosity. They're clearly seen as foreigners. But the key difference seems to be that the experience often lacks that specific historically rooted, race-based systemic inequality they faced in the U.S.
Ah, that's a critical distinction.
They're seen as outsiders, maybe, but outside the particular racial hierarchy that dominates so much of Western life.
So cultural difference isn't the same as systematic oppression. That's the point. You might get questions about your hair or where you're really from.
Right. Annoying, maybe, but different.
But that's a fundamentally different experience from feeling your career path or even your physical safety is limited by deep-seated racial bias. So this geographic shift, it really allows people to find genuinely fulfilling lives, new beginnings, resetting their baseline for quality of life by stripping away that layer of systemic stress.
And reducing that stress links directly to the practical side, the tangible benefits. This is where we see knowledge being applied for a huge personal gain, especially financially.
Yes, financial freedom is a major application here. The ability to dramatically improve your quality of life, maybe without a drastic income increase, that's probably the number one economic driver.
Especially true for remote workers.
Right.
Or those in specific international fields.
Exactly. If you can leverage remote work or get an international salary package, that changes the game.
The sources point specifically to places like Thailand, a prime example of this financial leverage.
Hmm.
We know the cost of living is much lower than in, say, major U.S. cities. But what does that really mean day to day?
Yeah, what does lower cost translate to? Well, if you're a digital nomad, maybe an English teacher, earning a stable international or remote salary, even a moderate one in a city like Chiang Mai or Bangkok.
Okay.
That income allows for a substantial lifestyle upgrade. We're talking maybe luxury housing that would be totally out of reach back in the States.
Right.
Much more accessible travel regionally and internationally, greater savings potential. Your money just goes so much further.
So it's not just about penny pinching. It's leveraging that economic difference to achieve, well, maybe faster financial freedom.
Precisely. It's the appeal of building wealth, accumulating assets, while also enjoying life more, experiencing new cultures, new environments. It's a very practical approach, really. Maybe even building generational wealth in a way that felt impossible before.
Okay, so economics is a huge pull. But we know that moving somewhere new, what keeps people there long term is often community, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's critical for any expatriate, really. Leaving your main support network behind means you have to intentionally build a new one. It's vital for long-term well-being, for feeling settled.
And the sources talk about these support structures forming pretty quickly. Specific things like professional networks, really active digital nomad groups, affinity organizations.
Groups that specifically understand the unique journey of a Black American moving abroad.
That shared experience.
Exactly. And what's fascinating is how intentional this community building is. It doesn't just happen by accident. We see it very clearly in places like, again, Thailand.
Thailand comes up a lot.
It does. Large Black expat and digital nomad communities have really taken root there. They're actively creating spaces where that sense of belonging is almost guaranteed. That's a crucial finding.
That idea, intentional community, brings us to something really powerful psychologically that the sources mention through an anecdote. Velisha Purnell. She lived in Mumbai, India, right, after leaving teaching in the US.
That's right. Velisha found real solace, real support in these global Black expat groups. And she described experiencing this profound sense of freedom, the reason, and this is key. She could finally stop code switching.
Okay, we need to define that. What exactly is code switching, and why is not having to do it such a, quote, massive psychological relief?
Right. Code switching is essentially adjusting how you speak, how you look, your behavior, even your expressions, because you're anticipating how the dominant culture will see you, how they'll judge you.
Constantly managing perceptions.
Constantly. For many Black Americans, this means, changing your speech to sound less ethnic or less threatening in a professional setting, carefully choosing clothes, maybe censoring certain cultural expressions or ways of interacting. It's this nonstop, exhausting internal self-monitoring.
Wow. So the relief Felicia felt was just letting go of that.
Exactly. Imagine taking off that heavy backpack of constant performance just to feel safe or respected or understood. When she found community abroad, both with local women, as we'll get to, and other global expats, she could just be, exist as herself without that constant need for adjustment.
That is the essence of belonging, isn't it?
It really is. And the sources suggest that removing that need allows people to redirect all that energy into their careers, into exploring, into just enjoying life rather than constantly managing how they're perceived.
It really stands out that the personal reasons for moving are just so varied, as diverse as the people themselves. This isn't one single movement with one single reason.
No, it's definitely a mosaic. You've got these overarching themes like economics and community, but the individual triggers, the personal goals, they're all over the map.
So let's revisit Velisha Purnell, former teacher. Her main drive was financial freedom, right?
Primarily, yes. She wanted a better financial future, a life with more freedom after feeling kind of unfulfilled and definitely undercompensated in her US career. That led her to Mumbai.
Okay, then you have someone like Mary Peterson, also a teacher, interestingly.
Yes, but her drive was different, more rooted in intellectual curiosity, a lifelong passion for travel, for history. Her specific goal was international teaching.
Which took her where?
Places like Singapore, valuing the high standard of living there, the diverse international population, very different motivation.
And then there's Shaw Cannon, described as a Gen X woman.
Right. Her goal was explicitly stated as wanting to spread her wings, personal growth, exploration. And she found something really unexpected and beautiful in Vietnam.
What was
A
that?
real sense of sisterhood, of shared experience with local Vietnamese women building these completely unexpected cultural bridges.
These stories really paint a picture. And the destinations are varied too. The sources mention India, like with Felicia.
Vibrant culture there, absolutely.
Japan, attracting tech people with its advancements. Singapore, with that diverse international feel Mary Peterson sought.
And Vietnam, scenic beauty, and where Shaw Cannon found that connection.
It's a rich tapestry.
It is. And if we connect all these individual stories back to the bigger picture, it shows this overarching theme. Look, no place is perfect, right? Nowhere is a utopia. Every place has its challenges.
Of course.
But the prevailing feeling reported by these individuals is definitely one of opportunity, freedom, and the potential to find a true sense of home, a place that actually supports their full potential. They're choosing intention over just, you know, tradition or birthplace.
This has been a really insightful look into, yeah, a truly significant global shift.
Mm.
So quick recap of the key takeaways for you listening. The main drivers seem to be this search for respite, getting away from that daily exhaustion of systemic inequality back in the U.S. Then there's gaining significant economic leverage, making your money go further, achieving lifestyle upgrades. And finally, the critical importance of finding intentional community abroad, that immediate sense of belonging that, crucially, removes the exhausting need for code switching.
Yeah, and the implications of this shift, they're pretty profound, I think. It shows a highly motivated group making very deliberate choices, prioritizing their well-being, their financial security, their sense of opportunity over just staying where they were born. They're fundamentally redefining where they can thrive and maybe even what success looks like for them.
Which leads us to our final provocative thought for you to mull over. If this sense of belonging, this intentional community, combined with real financial freedom, is such a strong driver for this major relocation trend to Asia, well, what does this tell us about how we define home? If home isn't just tied to birthplace anymore, but maybe it's where we feel truly free to pursue our full potential without that constant psychological burden, then maybe the question becomes, what needs to change domestically to make people feel that sense of belonging and opportunity right where they are? Something for you to think about as you consider what opportunity means for you.